Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new, brand-new Russell Wortham Show coming to you live, commercial-free from my super-secret Batcave. Folks, we are back and back in the middle of greatness, and as you could probably tell, we're doing things a cappella today, if you will. I tried to log on to get everything all set up, and for some odd reason, couldn't log in, so there's that. But if you are new here, welcome on in. Come on in, kick your feet up, get something cool to drink. It is a scorcher today inside the Batcave. But like I say, we persevere, we press forward. Tonight is night one of the WWE draft, for 2023. And I am extraordinarily, and I mean this, I am extraordinarily, excited for the event. If you caught my pop-up show on Tuesday, it was basically who I would keep on the roster, who I would let go, and I explained, you know, each one. So check that out. You can check me out Spotify, Google, Apple, iTunes, pretty much anywhere you get your podcast. I'm on TuneIn. Anywhere you get your podcasts, I'm there. So extraordinarily grateful to have y'all here. I just picked up a new country that I'm in. It is the Kingdom of Jordan. Extraordinarily excited and grateful to everybody that's listening to me in Jordan. I'm just like, are you kidding? This is a wow. Okay. So I am now up to 30 countries. Last week, I picked up Taiwan. And I think the week before that, I picked up New Zealand. So we are cooking now. We are cooking with natural gas, like we used to say back in the day. So thank you to everyone who listens to me. So let's just jump straightway into the introduction. Couple things. Three things. One is about Vince McMahon. One is about the new WWE World Heavyweight Championship that was unveiled this past Monday on Raw. And one is off the board, if you will, but it's concerning Wrexham. Yes, Wrexham FC from Wrexham, Wales. And they have done it. They have gotten their promotion out of the National League to the fourth tier Division II, League Two, I should say League Two. It is really awesome. So we will talk about that just briefly, but let's start off with the World Heavyweight Championship. You know, I saw the belt design, and I was like, I mean, I know what you're trying to go for, but I mean, it's supposed to be a play on the big old belt from, you know, the NWA / WCW days. And I mean, I mean, it looks good, but just seeing that that front plate, seeing that front plate, I was just kind of like, I don't know. I mean, it looks a little bit busy. I wish that they would have highlighted the, you know, the W. You know, like the red and white or red and black, it would have been like, okay, it's not a bad looking belt. It's just, I don't know. It's just kind of weird. But here's the thing. I know that a lot of people on social media, Twitter, Reddit, you know, other places online, Facebook, YouTube, they've all been saying, okay, well, this feels like the comp, or this feels like the consolation title. I'm doing the whole air quotes thing, you know, the consolation title. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's kind of the thing, but it proves my point. It proves my point that they wasted an opportunity. Okay, they wasted an opportunity at WrestleMania. Now, I know. Triple H is saying, well, it's a feeling. It's a feeling when you make a move to change champions and all that. And I get it. But I mean, if you were just going to introduce a second title, technically a third, because Roman Reigns has the WWE and the Universal titles, so this is technically, you know, a third title. Well, first of all, WWE, you better get on that. Just drop one of the titles. Just drop the simplest thing you can do. WWE, simplest thing you can do. Doesn't require a design change. The simplest thing you can do, WWE, is just basically go and just drop one of the titles. You know, presumably, I'm guessing the Universal Championship. You can still call it the Undisputed Universal WWE Championship, or whatever you want to call it, and just use the main WWE title. That's fine. That works. That, no design change needed. But technically, now you've got three belts going around, and it just feels kind of wonky. I just don't get it. So, but like I said, it proves my point, which is you know, if they were just going to split the titles, they had the best chance they could have at WrestleMania. And look, I didn't really see the unveiling. I just saw, you know, like, the stills. But according to, you know, various people, not least, say, Jim Cornette, on his show, he was saying that Hunter, okay, that Triple H, Paul Levesque, was saying that we fans deserve a fighting champion. A champion that, you know, will wrestle on a regular basis, that will be able to defend their title, because Roman is, I mean, he all but confirmed saying, yeah, Roman's a part-timer now. And not even a part-timer. It's more of a special attraction at this point. And the only reason why they're still having Roman as a champion is because they want to hit the 1,000-day milestone, which is big. I'm not saying it's not big. It's big. But it's insane. It's going on 3 years, folks. He's been champion for going on 3 years. Yes, it started off as the Universal Championship last SummerSlam. Last year's SummerSlam, he unified the titles. But they haven't gotten around to actually designing a new belt. And I thought that they were. I really thought they were. Drew McIntyre, whom I believe deserves to win a championship in front of a live crowd, okay, and Cody Rhodes, who was absolutely robbed at WrestleMania, now are, you know, two of the favorites to, I guess, win the new heavyweight championship. But problem is, Roman still has business with those two. So has business with Seth freaking Rollins, aka Colby, and Shinsuke Nakamura. Folks, that is four people. You want to throw in Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens? Fine. There's six people. There are six people that still want a shot at Roman Reigns. If you really want to add another one, Finn Balor. I've heard people say, we got to have justice for Finn. Finn Balor hasn't been the Universal title holder for 7 years now. That blew my mind that it's been 7 years. But, I don't know how it's all going to look. Apparently this will be, awarded at their Saudi Arabia show, the Night of Champions. So we'll see what happens with that. Right. So there is that. Now Vince McMahon, and I feel like I'm piling on at this point, but Vince McMahon, for the second time in 3 weeks, tore up the script to Raw right before Raw started. There was chaos that ensued, and I'm thinking, Vince, for the love of everything that's good and holy, no one wants you there. Not the talent, they're paranoid. Not the producers, they're probably thinking, oh geez, what are we going to do now? Sure as heck not the writing staff, because you're just going to rip up their work anyhow, last minute, and just kind of fly by the seat of y'all's pants. And then, you know, of course, you know, there's all the, you know, sexual assault, sexual harassment, you know, allegations that I've been talking about to death. But this week, and I apologize in advance, I heard the name earlier today from the good folks over at Cultaholic. Shout out to you guys over there at Cultaholic. There was a writer for WWE that is suing WWE because of racially insensitive or sexist storylines. There was one instance where Mustafa Ali, you know, and they said that this was a joke, and I'm thinking that is a sick joke. That is a sick joke. You do not joke about 9/11. Especially here in the United States of America, you do not joke about what happened on 9/11. Over 3,000 people lost their lives. You don't joke about that sort of thing. But apparently one of the writers, who is no longer there, I might add, but at the time, they were wanting to have Mustafa Ali come out and say, I was the one behind 9/11. I mean, really? First of all, who thought this was funny? Second of all, that's racial stereotyping, and that's that's racial profiling, and for three, really? Guy that you hardly use, guy that you hardly have win, guy that you say is just like right there, he's right on the cusp, he's right on the edge, he's just right there, but then you yank the carpet out from under him every single time, and you're saying that you wanted him to come out and say, Mustafa Ali to come out and say that, oh yeah, I planned 9/11. No. So there's that. I feel like I'm on Jeopardy. I will give y'all a list of names, and I will, you know, and then I'll give you, you know, the answer that's in the form of a question. So, get ready. CM Punk, Nick Aldis, Mickey James, CM Punk, Nick Aldis, Mickey James, Brian Gage, Christian, Jay White, what do they all have in common? Well, the answer is, who are the people that are not going to sign with WWE because of Vince McMahon? There you go. That's your list. Maybe there's more, but that's your short list. And speaking of Punk, apparently, Raw was at Chicago on Monday, and Punk was backstage. He was there to just talk to some of the people backstage. Apparently, he buried the hatchet with Miz. I didn't realize that they had heat between, you know, each other. He apparently was starting to bury a hatchet with Triple H. But CM Punk at some point was told, hit the bricks. And Punk was like, okay, no problem here. That was also a Vince call. Now, Vince McMahon was not in Chicago, to my knowledge. But he was the one that essentially kicked Punk out. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness gracious, are you kidding me with this? Yes, 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 yes. Yes, I know CM Punk is still under contract to AEW. I understand that Tony Khan would have probably sued WWE up the wazoo. But I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, it's in Chicago. WWE is in Chicago. Punk was backstage. He was, no one knew. Nobody knew until after the show that he was even there. It's not like he was going to saunter through, you know, gorilla position, go through those curtains and be like, hi, Chicago. Wasn't going to happen. And I think it's absolutely, I mean, the symbolism, the messaging couldn't be more clear. I came back to wrestling. My first night on the job in AEW was in Chicago. And here we are now in 2023. And, you know, hey, I've been out for a while with, you know, with an injury, but now I'm back. But WWE is coming through Chicago. Hey, I think I want to go over there. I've heard people suggest that was kind of like a shot. Kind of like, don't screw with me, Tony. Don't screw with me. You know, if you screw with me, I will leave. I will leave. I will go back to WWE. I am trying to build back bridges over there. Don't screw with me, man. Whether or not that's going to do anything, yeah, I mean, who knows? But again, Vince, just hands off. Look, fine, you're the chairman, I can't do anything about that. Fine, you're running WWE for all intents and purposes underneath the banner of Endeavor. I can't do anything about that, but what I can do is say hands off. Okay, hands off the creative, hands off the writing, hands off of the hiring and the firing. And for the love of everything that's good and holy, what was it hurting for CM Punk to be backstage? Yes, I know, he's under a contract to another company. Vince takes that very personally, which I think is whatever. I'm like, okay, are you that upset? Are you that intractable that you can't? I mean, that somebody can't pop by for like 5 minutes, say hi, and then walk out. That is all a Punk wanted to do. My opinion. But so that is that. Finally, very quickly, big special shout out to Wrexham FC. If you watched Welcome to Wrexham on Hulu, you know what I'm talking about. Team that was bought out by Ryan Reynolds, Rob McElhenney, and they've taken two full seasons to go from the National League, which is not even in the English Football League, back up to League Two, which is the fourth tier now of the English football system, and did it in just amazing fashion, beating Bournemouth 3-1 last Saturday, this past Saturday, to clinch the title. One more match to go tomorrow for the boys over at Wrexham. Torque United, and Torque is going to be relegated, unfortunately, from the National League. So amazing. Congratulations to everybody at Wrexham. That was awesome. All right. Bit long-winded, this introduction, but I just had a lot, just milling on my mind. All right. I'll be back with the main event. We will do some thank yous, and then we will go from there. Don't go anywhere. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back with the main event. Lot to get through. So let's just go straight down the line, starting with this last week's Raw. The Usos come out for a promo. The Judgment Day interrupt. And there was a bit of an intense stare-off between the Bloodline and the Judgment Day. But Paul Heyman said, you know what? I've brokered a temporary partnership. Basically they're switching dance partners for the night. You had Rey versus Solo. That was a heck of a match. The LWO did come out to Rey's aid, but Solo still won. Cody calls out Brock. They have a brawl, Colby versus Miz. Miz was surprisingly in control for a lot of the match, but Colby, aka Seth freaking Rollins, won and moving forward. And Austin Theory versus Lashley. It was a great match, but Bronson Reed came in, interrupted the match, and just absolutely trashed Lashley, trashed Bobby Lashley. Apparently, they're barnstorming this match of Bronson Reed versus Bobby Lashley versus Austin Theory. They're barnstorming across the country. It's a lot of disqualifications, so we'll see what happens going forward. Trish Stratus was throwing some truth bombs. I mean, she really was. She was like, without me, there is no women's division. Without me, there is no women's revolution or evolution. Without me, I mean, we're still stuck in the dark ages. I'm thinking, you're not wrong, Trish. You're not wrong. I thought that was something. And then six-man tag at the end. Spring breaking. You had the D'Angelo family. Tony D'Angelo and Stax Lorenzo versus Pretty Deadly. It was just your standard street fight, but, they had the play room balls, you're in, at like, Chuck E. Cheese or, McDonald's. They had swimming pool. They had, it was just a bunch of fun objects. And, it was a good match, but the family was never really in any great danger as they beat Pretty Deadly and sent them literally packing, I'm guessing, up to the main roster. Braun Breaker versus Andre Chase. It was short work for Braun. It was a beat down. And wow, this version of Braun is scary. Holy dang, this is scary. Lyra Valkyria versus Cora Jade. That was another short match. Carmelo Hayes versus Grayson Waller. It was very physical. And it was back and forth. It was the match of the night. It really was. I thought that Grayson, I thought that Grayson was going to win, but he botched getting back into the ring for his rolling cutter. Carmelo took advantage of that, and took advantage of that, got the pinfall. It looked like Grayson Waller injured his leg. I think it was his knee that got injured trying to dive back in. But that was a match of the year candidate. You had the mixed tag team match with Josh Briggs and Valen Henley versus Gunna James and Jensen. And that was really impressive work by Josh Briggs. There was communication miscommunication, I should say, easy for me to say, between Jensen and Cameron James, with the whole bag thing. And after the match, Cameron James slapped Jensen. Jensen wasn't having anything of that. He hugged Josh Briggs. Apparently, they are back as a tag team. I think that's the right call. Oba Femi versus Oro Mensa. Oba Femi really has a great future. Track athlete. He's built like a tank. The only problem I have, and this is a problem I've had with anybody in WWE, where they're like, oh, they're larger than life, is they film him so Oba Femi, Bronson Reed, Omos, they film him from underneath, at an angle. So it's like, oh my gosh, they're so huge. I'm like, okay, in the case of Omos, who is an actual giant, you don't need that undershot. You just don't. It's not, you just don't need that undershot. Sorry, you just don't. They do it for Braun Strowman. You don't need that underneath shot. It's, as they're coming down the rampway. But Oba Femi has a big, huge future in WWE, I believe. Now, triple threat match. You had, of course, Indy Hartwell versus Tiffany Stratton versus Roxy Perez. It was great action. It was back and forth. About halfway through the match, there was a dive out, to the outside of the ring. Looked like Indy rolled her ankle. It was kind of nasty. it effectively became, you know, just a one-on-one for a while there. But Indy comes back in and ekes out the victory. Finally, SmackDown, Rey Mysterio versus and Santos Escobar versus Finn Balor, Damian Priest. It was great action. Rey is just ageless. My gosh. He's just ageless. I mean, he is moving as well as he ever has. It is amazing to watch. I wish that the LWO and in particular Santos Escobar was booked better. At any rate, next up was another tag team match. In fact, you had three straight tag team matches, which was kind of like, okay. But it was Ricochet and Braun Strowman versus the Viking Raiders. Viking Raiders look great, but they just keep on losing. Don't understand that one. I am in awe of Raquel Rodriguez and live with their with their chemistry. I'm also in awe of Ricochet and Braun's chemistry. The aforementioned Raquel Rodriguez, Liv Morgan going up against Sonya Deville, Chelsea Green. It was a good match. And I'm glad there wasn't another title change. That seems to be the running joke with the women's tag team titles. Is you win it, you lose it a week later. Or 2 weeks later, or whatever. It's rather bothersome. But I'm glad that there was not a title change. Walter... Gunther, I know, but I will always call him Walter. Walter versus Xavier Woods. Xavier Woods was game. It was a good match. It was a really, really good match. But Walter was just flat out awesome. He's nigh on unstoppable is Walter. And then Matt Riddle versus Solo in Yawn, yet another street fight. And I'm like, I don't need to see another street fight. That's just silly. Right. Tonight is night one of the draft. I won't give you any picks, but I will say that you are going to see a number of people from NXT. NXT go up to the main roster either tonight or on Monday. I was thinking Braun Breaker, but apparently he's, you know, on this, you know, scorched earth tour down in NXT after losing the NXT championship to Carmelo Hayes. Pretty Deadly is probably going to go up. Roxy Perez, she's ready. She is 21. She is ready. Who else does she have to beat down there in NXT? She's ready. Zoe Stark, I believe, is ready. So you have a number of people that can go up either tonight or on Monday. I would dare say, and this is not a knock on SmackDown, okay? Please do not misunderstand. This is not a knock on SmackDown. But I believe that SmackDown would be the perfect spot for the NXT talents to go up, because it's on a Friday night. I don't know what the ratings are like compared to Raw, right off the top of my head. But I think you bring them up through SmackDown, and then subsequent years, you can swap back and forth. So that is the show, basically. I will be back next week previewing Backlash from Puerto Rico. I will be back to recap the draft and tell you where everybody's going and so much more. So, until I see you guys next week, this is Russell Wortham, and just like the Beatles sang all those many years ago, love is all you need. I will see you guys next week.